Well, what a joy it is to be here. It's good to see you in church. I love church. The Bible said that God's way is in the sanctuary. If you want to get in on what God's doing, you got to be in the sanctuary. Of course, we independent Baptists don't call it that, but it's good to be here tonight and to be a part of your life. You know, he was saying that, you know, just that we've made our mission budget. I knew he's going to make it all the time because of man of faith, it always happens. And so thank God for that. And thank you for your support of our ministry and our personal ministry, plus help ministries. You mean so much to us. When I come here, I'm always at home and I feel so close to you folks. And I appreciate your prayers and your support of our personal lives as we serve our Lord Jesus Christ. I heard there were three words that that describe marriage. Before you get married, there's the ideal. Once you get married, there's the ordeal. Then if it don't work out, then there's the new deal. So the Bible said that God daily loadeth us with benefits. I need a wagon load every day. And thank God that he has a heaven full and that he takes care of all those things in our lives. Do you have a pen in your hand? I'd like you to write this down, please. God is full of solutions. God is full of solutions. It's so important that we know this. God is full of solutions, and he's looking for people to give them to. He's looking for people to give them to. He's anxious. God loves to answer prayer. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Those things which thou knowest not, the end of Jeremiah 30-3, are things you can't produce yourself, but God can. Amen. So thank God for what he can do in through our lives. This year is a very important year to me. God has been dealing with me, and I'm so grateful that he has. This year, as you know, and have you've known for a long time, that this year is the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. And God has laid on my heart, I believe, that he wants me to raise $400,000 in honor of the 400 years of the King James Bible. When I got that from God, that feeling, I almost fainted. That's so way beyond me. This past year, 106,000 came in, which was an increase over the year before, and I rejoiced in that. But 400,000? So this saying came to me, and this is my saying for the year. I have verses for the year, but my saying for this year is, God, give me a cause this year that's bigger than me. You see, if I can do it, there's no faith in it. That's reason living. That's the way America likes to live, is by reason. But faith is the thing that God ordained that Christians live by. The just shall live by, said, faith. That's not what you do on an occasion. That's what you are. The Christian lives by faith. It's not something you use when you need it. Is what you are. We are people of the faith. And faith is the thing that God gave to his church to carry out the Great Commission. So it's so exciting to me. I am so full of the cause that God has given to me. I read these verses this week, and this really brought it home to me. And don't turn, just let me read it. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 1, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations." Now listen carefully. "To possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, which are giants." And God said, I'm going to send you in there to these nations that's bigger and mightier than you are. And there's a bunch of giants in your way. Go get them. Isn't that just like God? But you see, God loves to get us in a fix. Because when he gets us in a fix, then he fixes it. And so I like to get in fixes that God can fix and God does fix. And so I'm all fixed tonight. And so thank God for that. So I want those benefits that God gives daily to us. And that is so very important. So God is full of solutions tonight. If you have problems, either God sent them to you or else he allowed them to come. Remember, he's full of solutions. And that's to your problems also. But by faith, we grasp those solutions and bring them to us personally. God just ain't going to send them down there if you're a backslidden Christian and you're not leaving for him. I'm sorry. Pardon the vernacular. But he blesses those who are faithful. So that's the way it is. You are more tonight than you have been. You are not what you will be. And by the grace of God, I want to be what he wants me to be. And so I'm to grow daily in grace and knowledge and wisdom and in ministry. And so God's power, God's grace is manifested to us as we need it to carry out his will for our lives. So my prayer is, oh God, help me to see $400,000 come in. So I'm asking everybody for money. Brother Carter sitting back here, I guarantee you I'm going to get in his pockets. He's poor mouthing me and telling me how bad it is. But I ain't going to accept that. I'm not going to accept that. He knows me well enough to know that I'm coming after him. And he'll do fine. I don't have to worry about him. He'll do fine. But I'm looking forward next year at this time, announcing that God. You see, when you have a cause that's bigger than you are, then God has to do it. Then he gets all the glory. You can't get any glory if it's beyond you. And boy, I love it when God does it, don't you? So that's what we're looking for. Seeing God do some great things that we cannot do. I'd like to give you a parable. This came to me today, and you may not like this, and that's okay. I'm not preaching, so you'll like it anyway. At my age, I'll be 80 next month, and it don't matter to me what comes. But I was surfing on my computer the other day, and I came across on the website the word Gabe. So I emailed that number, and it was Gabriel. And so I said, Gabriel, in my email, I said, has the Father given you a date when Jesus is going to come? He emailed back and said, no, hadn't got it yet, but I'm expecting it any minute now. I said, I love that. So I asked him, I said, Gabe, how's things going up there in heaven? He said, Cham is not going too well. He said, you know that recession down on earth? It's made it all the way to heaven. He said, in fact, God laid off 100,000 angels already. He said, Moses and Abraham and Paul, he's cut their salaries in half. In fact, as the CEO of heaven, he has made an announcement he's not taking any more calls. He's broke. You believe that? I thank God for this recession. Amen, Brother Cham. Amen. Don't ask God to lighten the load. Ask God to give you more grace to bear the load and increase it as you serve him. That is so very important. Yes, we are in a recession, and there's a lot of hurting people, and I understand that. And I'm not going to belabor that tonight because some of you are hurting, and I appreciate that. But I just want to say some things about it that I trust will be a help to you. First of all, God knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows every need that you have. He knows your hurts. He knows your heartaches. He knows your troubles. He knows everything, not only what you think and what you are and what you do. He knows everything about you. And he said in the scriptures that he lives within us. I remember the night I got saved 62 years ago. It was a wonderful night for me. I was 17 years old. And when God came into my heart that night, I didn't know then that he came in to stay. I knew he was there then, because that preacher had led me to the Lord. His name was Faye Henry. And I, when God came into my heart, I reached out. He was 6'4", and I'm 6 foot. And I hugged him. I was so happy. My sins were gone. Later, I found out that he said he'd never leave me, that he'd be there permanently. And so I can't get rid of him. Never have wanted to. And, you know, I'm going to heaven. I'm earmarked for heaven. Once you get saved, you are predestined. Predestination begins at the new birth. You're predestined then to go to heaven and to be in the image of Christ and be there forever and forever. You can't stop it. If you don't want to put up with God, you better not get saved, because he's going to be with you and you're going to have him forever and forever. And I've never met a true Christian that belabored that in any wise, and I'm grateful for that. God is just God is up to a lot of good things in our lives. Being that said, I think that when times are tough, that Christians need to rethink and reevaluate their own personal lives. Are you listening? There's not one person in this building that's doing everything you can. There's not one preacher here, including me. There's another rung on your spiritual ladder. It goes all the way to heaven. There's another rung on the spiritual ladder that you're on. And the higher you go on that ladder, the more blessed the Christian life is. The Christian who gets saved and stays on the ground never gets in on the blessing. They're the Christians who say that church is dull. The Bible is dull. Every time I try to read it, I go to sleep. It's because they're on the ground. And you can't stay there. You have to begin to climb the ladder of spiritual success. And up that ladder, Jacob's ladder, the angels go up and down the ladder. But we're headed in that direction. And I want to be on the next rung. All the time. I don't ever want to be satisfied where I am. I call it a holy dissatisfaction with our life, my life. I want more. I'll be 80 years old next month, and I'm not about throwing my hat. I'm not going to stop. As long as I can breathe, I'm going at it, and I'm excited about it, and I trust that you are also. I have the joy tonight of having my dear old dad's Bible before me. He died in 2002, 92 years old. And he was a great man of God. As I've been reading through his Bible, I've been noticing the passages that he underlined or put brackets around, and it's most of the same verses that I do. And I want you to know I'm thrilled to read from my old dad's Bible. His name was Check MacMillan. I'm Cham, and he was Check. He was a man of God and loved his pastor and was faithful in church. And I loved him and appreciated him so very much. Well, I better get with it because I've got several things I want to say. What was his name? Tennessee Ernie Ford used to say... that he was as nervous as a frog on the freeway with a busted hopper. And when you stand in this pulpit, it's nervous. So I'm a little bit nervous tonight, and you already knew that. But in Philippians chapter 3, and let me share some thoughts with you, and then we'll go home and get some ice cream. In Philippians chapter 3, boy, I'm glad the Lord invented ice cream, aren't you? Yeah, that had to come from heaven. Verse 10 of chapter 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said there in verse 12, I hadn't got there yet, but I follow after, I'm headed. That I follow after, I have a sermon on that, I'm not going to preach it tonight, but that's a decision. He made a decision to follow after something. It's also a direction. God is concerned about your decision making, and He is concerned about what direction you're going. It's important that you understand that. And then when He said, I follow after, He was talking about determination. He'd already made up His mind. That's where He's going. I follow after. Didn't say I might, or I'll think about it, or some days I might do it. No, this is definite. So determination. There are dangers once you make up your mind for God to go in a direction. There are dangers that are before you, and you have to understand those dangers. They aren't there. But there is a destiny. There's somewhere you're going when you're following after. And I know tonight that heaven probably is going to be a wonderful place. I wish the Lord right now would break up one of those streets of gold and send a hunk down here. Wouldn't that be good? He's got all that gold up there and gates of pearls and walls of jasper, and we're pleading down here. But He gives it, of course, as we need it. He said, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, verse 13. I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I didn't get it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. He said there in verse 13, there's forgetting those things which are behind. There's two things that if you're going to serve God, you've got to forget. You need to write these down probably. First of all, if you're going to follow God and you're going to be successful in it, you need to forget all the bad things that folks have done to you. If you don't, you'll grow bitter. Well, he wronged me. He took away this, what which I valued. Forget it. That's what he said here, forgetting those things which are behind. The second thing, you need to forget all the good things that you've done for others. That leads to pride. If you brag about what you're doing, what you've done, then you're going to be destroyed by pride. God hates pride. So forget the wrong things, the bad things that others have done to you, and forget the good things that you've done for others, and make Him the object of your love and your attention. Not people. You see, if you're full of pride or you're full of bitterness, whatever that is between you and God, and that puts that person ahead of you. Because he's between you and God. Forgetting those things which are behind. And then, I love this, reaching forth onto those things which are before. The word reaching there carries with it the idea of reaching something that you can't reach. I have a orange tree in my backyard. Maxine and me were at the kitchen table, and we have a patio and the orange tree's right there. And we looked out the other night, and there was a couple stealing oranges off my tree. So we watched him a minute, and so I opened the door and I said, folks, help yourself. The guy said, well, the lady next door said it's all right for us to get them. She said, you didn't care. Well, I hadn't told her that. But the rascal took all the oranges that I could reach. Now I've got to get the ones up there I can't reach. And I'm not going to climb that tree, buddy. My climbing days are over. God has, you know, the best fruit is always in the top of the tree. The biggest apples, the biggest pear, the biggest oranges are always beyond your, say it, reach, yes. So Paul said, yeah, I'm reaching forth on those things which are before. He said, I can see them, they're before me, and I've got to get them. I'm going after them. So there's some things that I need, that I need to reach tonight. There's some things that you need to reach tonight that's very important to God and to us. We need to reach out to God tonight. Reach beyond your ability to reach. Reach all the way to the heart of God and ask Him for wisdom to live in His will. I am amazed at how little spiritual wisdom there is in America today. I'm amazed at what's done in the name of the Lord. No wonder God is taking a vacation from planet Earth. You see, when you legislate against God, I didn't mean to say all this. It's not bad. When you legislate against God, then He'll walk away. He'll put up with backsliding. He'll keep on dealing with you. But if you officially say, God, you're not welcome, He'll walk on. He'll break out somewhere else. And I'm in mission work, and I know where He's breaking out. And I know what's happening. Here in America, we're in the gleaning stage. I was a cotton picker when I was young. God saved me twice. I got saved from my sins the first time, and God saved me from that cotton patch the second time. But my granddaddy that raised me was an old miser, and we picked that cotton three times. The first picking was a good picking. The second picking was the biggest picking, but then the third was the gleanings. He just saw those little locks all over the field out there. Now, these days, they got these cotton pickers. And they just go through there and they'll leave enough. My granddaddy would have died seeing all that cotton out there and these cotton pickers leave today. I'm now pea picking pew packer, so it's different with me now. But we need to reach out and ask God to give us wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberty and upbraideth not. God's got wisdom for us. And if ever we needed some wisdom today, we need to have wisdom about right and wrong. We need to have wisdom about what the spiritual power of God is. We need to have wisdom about which direction to carry our churches and what we need to do for the glory of God. We need wisdom about reaching the whole world for God, not just our own little backyard. But we need some good wisdom in our lives today. Oh God, give the churches in America some spiritual wisdom. Amen. Reach out for it. God's a giver of it. So then he made these famous words that every preacher, I've got a dozen sermons on verse 14. I ain't going to preach them all tonight, honey, so don't get upset. But he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. That's a good word, press. The mark there speaks of his cause. This is what he wanted. I press toward the mark. That was his goal. Every Christian must have a cause burning in their bosom, or they're out of it. You've got to have something burning. And if you hadn't got anything burning, you're out of it. The fire of God is so important to us. He talked about burning hearts there. The two men on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? We need burning hearts. Jeremiah 20, he talked about a fire shut up in my bones. You got to have a fire in the bones. Bones, that's where the marrow, where the life is produced. It produces the blood for your body. And right down where the life is produced, you need the fire of God burning in your life.
Amen.
Isaiah 6, he talked about burning lips. Lips on fire for God. I remember this preacher, and if I called his name, you'd know him. he was an engineer in a radio station, and this preacher came in every day. This was before tapes and all that kind of stuff, and he came in every day to do a live broadcast on the radio station. And he came in one day, and this engineer said, "What do you know, preacher?" He said, "I know Jesus. Who do you know?" Yeah. Preacher went on and preached. The next morning, 3 o'clock, his phone rang, and this radio technician said, "I don't know him. Could you come now and help me?" And he got saved, and he's preaching today. Burning lips. Burning lips. It just takes one word sometimes, and it'll go like an arrow in the heart of the hearer, and good and wonderful things will happen. Burning lips. Burning hands. Isaiah 6, he put the coal of fire in the hands. These hands reach out. These hands have handled the word of God, and these are helping hands. They're not instruments of cruelty. They're instruments of blessing for us. And that's why I say never do slap your children. Never spank your children with your hands, because these are instruments of blessing. Use a rod. Use a switch. Use a plow line or whatever, hoe handle, whatever is handy. But not your hands, because the next time you reach out to bless, they'll think you're going to hit them with it. Give. These hands give. It's more blessed to than to. Is that true? You know who said that? Jesus said that. Yeah. It's more blessed to give than receive. I'm in love with giving. Maxine and me are just, we've promised the Lord $4,000 for Bibles this year. I have no idea where it's coming from. Unless one of you get burdened. You see, I have a philosophy of life, and it works for me. I first tell God, then I tell others. And see, if I get God involved in it when I tell others, I've already told him, then he goes with my words and he takes care of it. I love it when God does it. Just a few weeks ago, I was $8,000 short on my Bible fund. I told Maxine, I said, "Honey, it's getting close now to the 1st of January, and I don't know where that $8,000 is coming from." Well, this preacher invited me to come to his church, and so I went. And so before I got there, they had voted to give me $5,000 for Bibles. I did not know that. And so when he had introduced me, he didn't say anything about it. So in my message, I said, "I'm $8,000 short on my Bible fund." Well, when I got through preaching, he dismissed me, and they voted to give me 3 more thousand. I told God first. Then I told them. And you know something? Are you listening? There was a lady came out the door, and she said, give the pastor a note. She said, "Pastor, if 8,000 caught Brother Cham up, another 8,000 put him ahead, wouldn't it?" And I went away from that country church with a check for $16,000. Have you ever had a Baptist fit? I love them. Boy, come unglued, you know. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I love it when God just takes over and does it. So let me just say this. You're in a recession in Haines City. So are we in Lakeland. When God sends a recession or allows one, I don't know which it is, he is testing his people. He's saying, "What you gonna do about it?" Now you have some options. You can get on your Honda and ride off in the sunset and quit. Or you say, "Well, bless God, I'm a man." Well, it used to be up here, it's dropped down here now, but I'll get through this somehow. No, God's not, he's not isn't that. What you can say, "Oh God, I'm not sure what you're doing, but by faith, I'm going to trust you for the answer." God loves to be put on the spot. He said over there in Isaiah, "Command ye me." I used to read that all the time. I said, "Lord, I can't command you. I'm a little speck of dust down here on planet Earth. Me command the God of the universe." Yeah. And I kept praying over that verse. "Command ye me." And one day the thought came to me, what he's saying there is challenge me. Make it definite. put me on the spot. God loves it. He loves to be put on the spot. It hadn't rained in Israel for 3.5 years. And Elijah, on his face, out there at Mount Carmel, prayed and asked God to send rain. And the cloud came up the size of a man's hand, and then the rains came. Everybody in that world knew that God did that. So when God sends a recession or allows it, and the church trusts God for the answer, you see, God does not want a church to miss a lick. Listen carefully now. Anybody that does not have your seatbelt buckled. Okay. Whenever these times come that you're involved in tonight, because you are not operating at your potential, I'm talking to each member of this church, because you're not operating at your potential, then you need to step up to the plate and grab the bat and hit a home run. This church should not suffer one iota because there's a recession on hand. Because faith reaches up into the heavens and brings the resources of God from heaven to your hands that you may give it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence, proof of things hoped for. So God, the faith is the ability to bring from God the thing that we need to operate and carry out the Great Commission on this earth. God has blessed some of you with the ability to be the difference here. I preached at Calvary, the church where I go to now in Lakeland, and they were going to have to put a new roof on their church. It's going to cost them $80,000 to put a new roof on their church. And so they were trying to raise the money, and they had just paid off the debt of their church, which was $100,000. And so they were, so I was preaching, and I don't know where this came from, but I said, there's somebody here tonight that needs to write a check for $25,000 and give it to our church. Not to help ministries. I don't want you to give it to me. I want you to give it to this church. And I thought to myself, man, I just walked out on a long limb. If this doesn't happen, I'm going to be mud. Maxine said, what did you say? I said, okay. The next Wednesday night, a man came forward and said, God spoke to my heart when Brother Cham mentioned that, to give $25,000 to our church. And he handed me a check, $25,000. You got your pen out? Don't look at me like that. You see, God has plenty of money. It's just in the wrong hands. He cannot use it till you put it in His hands. You say, well, I've got all this money. Everything I have is God's. Oh, yeah, I know that. But you got to put it in His hands. Write a check. He'll take care of it. I'm saying tonight, you have a goal for missions this year, and you should not miss that, and faith will carry it over the top. This church has needs, I'm sure, and faith will carry it over the top. And I'm telling you tonight, you need to press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that mark, that goal, was Jesus Christ. Amen. Because He has all the answers. So if you set a goal of doing something for God, it's aimed toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And He loves to be challenged. I got a check day before yesterday from Ringgold, Georgia. Some folks I'd never met before. But they visited a lady whose husband had just died that I did know. And I went to his funeral. And this lady told her sister about Help Ministries and about the Bible Fund. And I get a letter from Ringgold, Georgia, from this couple for for $25 for Bibles. I told Maxine, I said, God started doing it already. Then I got a check in the same mail, same day, for $125 from a preacher up in Orlando. He said, we prayed for you all last month, and we decided to do something for you. And here's $125 for Bibles. Whew. I'm getting close to having a Baptist fit, because God's going to do it. And it's going to be exciting to see God come through. So I press is a passion thing. I'm through. I press is a purpose thing. I press is in the person of Christ. I press is a plan. And I press is something that I must do personally if I'm going to get the job done.